Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 241 of Is This Thing Working? I'm James, and that's my lovely co-host Denise over there, and we ask the question each and every day, is this thing working, man? Look around you and ask. How are you doing, Denise?
I'm doing awesome.
I hear you.
I am so glad to be here with everybody today. And that question that we ask, is this thing working? Do you ask it all the time?
Do you just look at everything that's going on and just go, damn.
We have a lot of opinions today too, yeah. Though. So everyone stay tuned. It's going to be a hot show today. But first, we want to state that these are our opinions and our assertions. And if you like the show, please share with all your friends. And if you don't, please share with all your friends anyway.
That's it.
And don't forget to stomp that like button. Make sure to follow Is This Thing Working on all platforms. We go live on Rumble, Getter, and X every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 p.m. There we go.
And let's, before we really get the show going in, let's go ahead and get all the formalities out of the way, and let's go ahead and hear from our sponsor. Tax season doesn't have to be stressful or expensive, especially when you use Free Tax USA. With Free Tax USA, you can file your federal taxes for free, no matter how simple or complex your return is. That's right, free filing for everyone with no hidden fees, no surprises. You need to file state taxes? Hey, that's no problem too. And it's just $14.99 for your state taxes. But if you need support, Free Tax USA offers step-by-step guidance and live customer service to ensure everything is accurate and easy. So whether you're filing as an individual, self-employed, or managing investments, Free Tax USA has you covered with powerful tools and secure filing backed by the same encryption used by major banks. So, hey, join the millions of Americans who trust Free Tax USA every year to file fast, file free, and get their biggest refund.
That's it. You can click that link below, and that will help our sponsors out and us as well. We appreciate that. I do want to say something about that. You know, here in Texas, guess what we don't have? Well, state tax.
State tax. That's exactly right.
It is definitely free here.
Yeah.
We don't have to pay that. But yesterday, everybody, our wonderful brand new press secretary had her very first White House press briefing.
After we've had circle back and then the duffel bag that we had standing up there
duffel
for the
bag. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man.
That's,
I mean, really.
Good.
Yeah, it's nice to have a competent person, somebody like Carolyn Leavitt, to stand up there and speak to the press.
Yes. And she announces yesterday that she is going to let all media, every piece of it, independent journalists, podcasters, and social media influencers, listen to what she had to say about how her press secretary briefing is going to be.
The revolutionary media approach that President Trump deployed during the campaign, the Trump White House will speak to all media outlets and personalities, not just the legacy media who are seated in this room. Because according to recent polling from Gallup, Americans' trust in mass media has fallen to a record low. Millions of Americans, especially young people, have turned from traditional television outlets and newspapers to consume their news from podcasts, blogs, social media, and other independent outlets. It's essential to our team that we share President Trump's message everywhere and adapt this White House to the new media landscape in 2025. To do this, I am excited to announce the following changes will be made to this historic James S. Brady briefing room, where Mr. Brady's legacy will endure. This White House believes strongly in the First Amendment, so it's why our team will work diligently to restore the press passes of the 440 journalists whose passes were wrongly revoked by the previous administration. We're also opening up this briefing room to new media voices who produce news-related content and whose outlet is not already represented by one of the seats in this room. We welcome independent journalists, podcasters, social media influencers, and content creators to apply for credentials to cover this White House. And you can apply now on our new website, whitehouse.gov/newmedia. Starting today, this seat in the front of the room, which is usually occupied by the press secretary's staff, will be called the new media seat. My team will review the applications and give credentials to new media applicants who meet our criteria and pass United States Secret Service requirements to enter the White House complex. So in light of these announcements, our first questions for today's briefing will go to these new media members whose outlets, despite being some of the most viewed news websites in the country, have not been given seats in this room.
Yay! Amen. There we go.
There,
man.
We go. We are back.
Yep.
People, things are getting a little bit normal again, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had to force the issue.
Yep.
Literally force the issue
while not,
to get back to normal a little bit.
Exactly. And while not being officially titled state-run media, the legacy media has been state-run media for quite some time. And it's nice to see that, like you said, we got a voice now.
Yes. And guess what? We have applied.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we're very tiny, as you can tell, you know, and
but we meet the criteria.
We meet the criteria, and
yes,
it
sir.
Would be really cool to be to get a pass, you know, whether we could make it or not or be there or every single time. But it would be really a big coup if we could.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
It's very exciting, which is why we played Caroline Leavitt at the very beginning, because the media landscape has changed, and
yes.
We are the media.
Yep.
You know?
We all have a voice now.
All of us.
Yeah.
And it feels so good. Welcome to the Texas Brief, everybody. We have some good news that's going on here in Texas, and it involves, I know, folks, we are not really fans of actors and actresses anymore. We've gotten away from them. They get on our nerves. You know, they think for some reason that
Hollywood's important.
That Hollywood's important.
Yeah.
You know, but I really thought that people in Texas should know that there is a group of actors and actresses that are going together to bring Texas stories here to Texas. They're going to bring a film and TV production company here. And it's going to be Dennis Quaid, Woody Harrelson, Billy Bob Thornton, and Renee Zellweger, and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
So I think that's really exciting. You know, it's something that, you know, and they have a video here. It's 4 minutes long, so I'm just going to just tell you a little bit about it. And they talk about in the video about how they have traveled around from state to state and to many states to do films. And even films that were about Texas were done elsewhere.
Right.
You know, and they didn't come to Texas.
Yep.
You know, so I guess Governor Abbott is working with them and giving them incentives and this is great. This really is. I mean, Texas is getting a stock exchange. Now we're getting Hollywood in Texas. What's it going to be called? Austin-y-wood? What are we going to call it? San Antonio-y-wood? Houston-y-wood? I don't know. But maybe Dallas?
Dallas-wood,
I bet you it would be Austin, because that's where all the comedy clubs and stuff are going on down there.
Yeah, and while the landscape in California, before they burn it all to the ground, has been historically really a beautiful place, man. You've got the sequoias, you've got the redwood, you've got Yosemite, you know, you've got
that's
all
beautiful.
Of these beautiful places. But the thing is, Texas is big. And we are just as beautiful. You got the Big Bend. You got Central Texas. You got the Hill Country, some of the prettiest in the world. I mean, really. And you've got the Piney Woods of East Texas. You got all of East Texas over
here. You've got the desert.
Here.
You've got all of it.
Yeah,
I mean, you got the big cities. You have the, you know, you got all every piece of America is in Texas. We have it.
That's what I was going to say. Though, if you want to make a Western, you don't have to be in the mountains and the hills in Hollywood. You
Montana.
Can come right over here to Texas and be It's going to be great.
It is. Yeah. It is. So that is exciting because, you know, Texas is growing. You know what happens with this kind of stuff, though? And we've seen it in Austin and all the big cities and everything is they become liberal because of it.
Well, Austin is already liberal.
I know. That's what I mean. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. All the California people have you know, come to Austin.
But I guess as far as actors and actresses, man, I think that's a pretty good compiled group of people right there, man.
You know, every one of them.
Woody Harrelson, who is one of my favorites, man.
I know, mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woody's and I love awesome. Renee Zellweger.
Billy Bob Thornton.
I know. And Dennis Quaid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're all from Texas.
Yes.
Every one of them. So that's really cool. Because they call it, they're bringing the film industry home. So to Texas. So I think that's really cool. I'm excited. But one thing that really would excite me is if our education numbers went up here in Texas.
Right.
You know, I have a little video I want to play for you. It's from the Texas Scorecard. And he's going to tell you exactly what's going on with the declining student performance.
Yeah.
It has been revealed. And it's the Daily Headlines with Brandon Waltons.
In a report recapping the last school year, the head of the Texas Education Agency has expressed pride in the accomplishments of government schools despite declines in already low student academic performance levels. According to the agency's 2024 annual report, only 48% of third grade students read at or above grade level. That's a 2% decline from the previous school year. Just 42% scored at or above grade level in math. The total per student funding for the year was $15,503. Education Commissioner Mike Morath acknowledged that the state's education system faces significant challenges and obstacles, yet he still says that we can take pride in the progress toward growing opportunities for all Texas students.
Yeah, did you hear how he sounded real like sarcastic, like that? We can take pride. Let's take pride in this.
Yeah, and he's calling out the irony in that statement too, is because no, that's really nothing to be proud of, man.
No.
But what do you think the reasons are for the decline? Is it just poor teachers? Is it the lack of teachers? You know, is it funding? Is it the fact that you've got a lot of people that don't speak English, a lot of students that don't speak English in the schools?
Yeah, kids that have come in that are put in certain grades that they're behind.
Yes.
Already in that reading and math, which would be what the problem would be when you first start. Right. You're going to be behind in those. And especially if you don't speak English.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I was getting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I was getting at. Plus, you know, and this is even talking about kids that are born and raised right here in the country who are Americans, who kids are still going to school, and even a lot of those kids are probably behind also.
It affects everybody. It affects the teachers. It affects kids. I mean, because the kids' school sizes, like their classroom sizes, are bigger.
Are bigger.
You know, right. And I do believe that it is an issue for all of our children
right
here in Texas, you know, and people think that we're just the most horriblest people because we want our kids to be given the best.
Right.
And we, in Texas, you would think if we're going to bring in film, then maybe we need to teach them to read and write.
Well, yeah, but not all schools in Texas are that way. You know, not all schools have failed. Not all schools are not that. And that's the whole point of us pushing for school choice, is because each parent, especially if a parent is doing all that they can to make sure their child is progressing in school the way that they should too, because parents ought to be keeping an eye on their kids' homework. They ought to be keeping an eye on their kids' progress. They ought to be keeping an eye on all of that stuff and be involved in that.
Do you think parents are less involved now?
Probably a lot are, man, because it takes a two-income family and you've got different working shifts and you've got, you know, kids in their daily activities with school, plus what they've got going on extracurricular if they have. Yeah, man.
You know what I think
I believe there's a disconnect. Yeah.
I think one of the things I've noticed with our grandkids and their schoolwork and stuff is a lot of it's done on like a tablet. You know, and so they bring these tablets home to do homework, especially in the elementary, you know, I guess to save paper. I'm not really for sure. But I think that's a hindrance. If you're not writing things down.
Yeah.
You can't learn to read or write.
Using the muscle memory to learn to write and then using the thought process. I get it, man.
You know, I mean, yeah. It goes hand in
and
hand.
And it sinks in. It soaks in, I guess it is a better word. It soaks in. It does with me and you, and especially even doing something like even like just to prepare this, you know, our show, you know, to prepare our show, we write it down, we handwrite it down, or I do. I sit over here and take notes as we prepare, and it does. It helps to sink in, and it helps.
And a lot of times we don't even look at them. I mean, but once we write them down, it's like it's up there.
Yeah.
It clicks, you know. But we have another story. It's pretty sad, but it's from the Texas scorecard.
Yeah, and this is coming from a story about the Colony Ridge that we've talked about the little settlement that's illegal immigrants. And there was a murder back in 2022 of 16-year-old Emily Patricia Rodriguez in Colony Ridge. And the three defendants who were involved in that murder have now had their court hearing. They've been sentenced. They pled guilty. And the three, Kevin Giovanni Rivera Ortiz, Catherine Alvarez Flores, and Joel Garcia Martinez, were accused of luring the victim under false pretenses, fatally shooting her and dumping her body in the controversial Colony Ridge development. This is what Texas scorecard says. And it says that while no motive for the case was ever uncovered, it was believed to possibly be gang activity. Ortiz got 50 years. Alvarez Flores, she also received a 50-year sentence, and Garcia Martinez was sentenced to 30 years. Texas scorecard had asked ICE for current immigration status of Rivera Ortiz, but did not receive a response by a publication. There you go.
There you go.
Justice served.
Justice served.
And that's why it's been so important. That's why the border has been the biggest issue for 4 years running now. You know, that's exactly why.
I know. And it's going to, I mean, it's going to continue until we get control of the people that, you know, I read today that President Trump has, you know, where Biden had designated like 60,000 Venezuelans temporary status.
Right.
Where President Trump untemporary status them today.
Good.
So I thought that was really good because those were gangs that he was given temporary status to. You know, it's
crazy.
Just to me, it's just crazy. And then the Senate is still slow walking all the confirmations, and the most important ones that we're really waiting on. Pam Bondi did clear the committee today for the Attorney General, right?
Yay!
Yay! Finally,
yeah.
And Kennedy's hearing, the beginning of his, just started when we need him in the HHS. Secretary
yesterday.
Right now, you know, and the Democrats, the amazing hate they have for anything good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they find a reason to you know, dislike anything that we're trying to do. But anyway, Kennedy was up on Capitol Hill today, put in front of everybody and treated like crap by the Democrats. And then the, you know, one important one is it's a debate going on. And I want to know, I want your opinions on this. It says during his confirmation hearing for the position of Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. faced questions from Senator Bernie Sanders about whether health care should be considered a human right. Kennedy responded with an ambiguity that healthcare cannot be straightforwardly compared to rights like free speech due to the cost associated with healthcare services. This response sparked a debate of the nature of healthcare as a right. What do you think, folks? Do you think health care is a right? I don't. That's my opinion.
Right.
I do not think that health care is a right. It is not written in the Constitution like the like a free speech.
That somebody has to supply, give you medical care. Here's where I think he came off, you know, and maybe he was ambiguous with this, because I believe what he was trying to say was the fact that somebody that becomes a doctor, they didn't just go to college and then decide, oh crap, I can't do nothing else, might as well be a doctor. No, these people had a desire and a passion to help other people and help to make other people feel better and help cure illnesses and diseases and treat people. And they had a passion and a desire to do that. And so they spend a lot of money and they spend a lot of time and they go to school and they learn all these different things, man. And they get their license and they become doctors. And then you get people that want to walk in there and go, well, I'm sick and it's my right. You need to take care of me. I don't got no money, but you got to take care of me. He doesn't, that's not your right. If you walk in there and I think that's kind of maybe where he was trying to go with that.
Right.
But didn't know how to bring it up. Maybe that's just me. That's my way I kind of see it.
Well, and the thing is Bernie Sanders is trying to do a gotcha. He thinks it's human right for you to have health care. Now, you get hurt, you go to emergency room, they have to see you. But do they really? You know, do they have to see you, whether you have the funds or not?
Okay.
I mean, because you used an example earlier when we were discussing this. You said, well, that would be like me walking into a grocery store and I'm hungry and I go in there and say, hey, you got to feed me.
Yeah, because it's my human right to be fed.
You have food.
Yeah.
So you have to feed me.
Exactly.
You know, now everyone believes in human dignity. We all believe in human dignity.
Right.
You know, so me as a person, I have that right to go, yeah, I will feed you.
Yes.
You know, I will do that if you're hungry.
Right.
You know, and that is kind of where the thin line is.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
And that's what the Democrats want. They want that feeling all the time of you helping some. You have to feel that way all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that the state or the government or regulations or laws tell you have to do this. And there again, it's like I say, if you know, I mean, unless the guy walks in and he's got his arm cut off and he's spitting, you know, he's spewing blood everywhere, or you know, his head's hanging on by just, you know what I mean? Then if it's a life or death situation, does he have a human right to be treated then?
Right.
I feel like it is a good debate. Yeah, it is a good debate. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we really should discuss this.
I do feel like in that situation, whether he has insurance or whether he's got a dime in his pocket, you know, if the man's going or the woman's standing there about to die, then yeah, they have a right for somebody to take care of them. You know what I mean? Not to just let them sit there and die.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you go in there because you've got a cold or you've got a flu and you walk in there and go, I'm sick, I don't have no money, but you got to take care of me, you know, you got to see me. That's kind of where the line is with me on that, man.
Yeah. And you know, it could go in a different direction. And I'm thinking also the money. Okay, so we're always talking about the money, but the fact is that healthcare is so outrageously expensive. And at one time, they were supposed to post how much they charge for things. And I still don't know where that's at.
Right.
You know, so that when we go to the hospital, we know what we're being charged for and how much it's going to cost. So the cost of healthcare is so outrageous.
Yeah.
That people, you know, they just can't afford it unless they work for a job. Well, and even then, they take so much health care out of your check, you know, and then you don't go to the doctor for a year. I mean,
but then
and
again,
you're
yeah.
still paying for all this money. So why can't we just bring down cost of health care or cost of getting care for our health, not health care, insurance, cost of getting cost to go to a doctor's office.
Yeah.
I mean, lower
cost
the
cost for an x-ray. Yeah.
Yes. Cost for, because they're always like mammograms and you got to do them all the time. And
blood work.
You know,
and those
blood
kind of
work
things.
And all that. And all that costs money.
Yeah.
You know, and they're always sending you. I mean, I had a doctor's appointment today and I guess that's why it's at the forefront of my mind. And I heard the next room over a nurse go in there and, you know, that. I could hear, so it wasn't like something that was private. She says, "Okay, so it's time for you to have a mammogram. It's time for you to have this. It's time for you to have this. It's time for you, like four things, you know." And I know it was an older lady because she was right before me, you know. And I sat there and thought to myself, "That is four different places that she has to go. That's going to get paid by health insurance."
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
well,
that was
that
just
she has
like
to the, pay a copay or deductible out
yes,
of, too. Yeah.
Yes. And so, I mean, it really is out of hand.
Yeah.
And if we have to get a mammogram every year, then something else is out of hand.
Right.
And maybe a Kennedy, RFK Jr.
Yeah.
Can solve this problem that's out of hand.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we need. We need someone in there to go, hey, enough is enough.
Yeah.
You know, you can only squeeze people so much.
Yeah. That is true. That is true.
I mean,
and, you know, and it just makes you sit back and you see what goes on sometimes. And I guess if we're going to talk about personal things a little bit here, you know, I know somebody that, you know, has had cancer now for quite some time and has already, you know, had multiple rounds of chemo. You know, multiple. I mean, I'm talking like for a couple of years now at different spots. Oh, we've got it all. You're cancer free. And bam, 2-3 months later, bam, it's back again. You know, oh, we got to go through more chemo. And hey, how about we do this? We'll do blood transfusions or we'll do, you know, we'll give you platelets or your white blood cell count's real high or, you know, all of this. Or and I know that this person had T-cell replacement. You know, they had the T-cell replacement done not too long ago, and it...
Oh, and she went through.
Yeah.
She went through a lot, man. It was
and,
pretty
and
sad.
She did, and she got down to yesterday, and, you know, she was cancer-free, and they told her that, but yet they wanted her to stay there because her white blood count was still out some, and so they wanted her to stay there just for observation, you know, and stay down there, and... That was yesterday, and by last night, her abdomen began to really hurt her some more. Oh, your PET scans are free and clear, but her abdomen began to hurt her some more, and so she went back in there, and oh, cancer's in your stomach. You know, you got cancer in your abdomen. I guess we missed that on our PET scan.
Yes.
Why should healthcare cost so much? When that continues to happen, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
So anyway, I got.
I do. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I
know. You know
got,
that so many people go through this cancer stuff and trying to save their own lives, and
but my
and
point,
it's
but,
so unaffordable.
But my point is, with that is, how come you didn't see that yesterday? And are you saying that it came back within?
A
couple
day?
Of hours,
right?
You know what I mean. So you know,
no,
I,
it had to have been there this whole
exactly.
time,
exactly. And so
you know, I can remember also when our friend was just getting, you know, having issues like this, her stomach hurt her a lot.
Yes.
So surely they already knew about the stuff in the stomach, and I'm not understanding at all.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on. But, so it's heartbreaking and you just don't know.
Right.
You know, you don't know what's next.
Yeah.
I mean, is she going to have to go through another thing of chemo?
Yeah.
Will her body be even able to stand that? Anyway, it's devastating. And this talk about healthcare and health, it's really important. And so the Democrats coming out and acting like that RFK Jr.'s, you know, all he wants is the money, 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 money. You know what? That man is rich. He's a Kennedy.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the money. But you know what I liked? I liked the fact that he did not let them bait him.
No. And another thing that was really cool about that, and I said this too, if nothing else, the one thing that it does is it exposes every one of them, because the ones that came at him hard and heavy like that today, your only conclusion is that is hey, you guys are pretty heavily invested in Big Pharma.
That's so, it.
All of those that wanted to show out today, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, all of
all
you
of the
that
Democrats.
Wanted to show out and attack RFK, this just exposes you.
Yeah, it was funny. Someone posted that Elizabeth Warren had accepted $880,000 from Big Pharma.
Looky there. Follow the money.
Follow the money, folks.
Yep.
You know, and then there are Democrats coming out all day long. It's been crazy to see them go, oh my gosh, I will never, I have been a Democrat my entire life. They said, I haven't, but they said that, and that I will never vote Democrat again. That's how disappointing they are about not wanting to help the American people. They don't want to help you.
Right.
They want to help big business. And the Democrats they're in disarray. They're in shock.
Yeah.
They're outraged and they're fatigued. They're always something now.
We have flooded the zone on them, though.
And we have flooded the zone, and their media cannot get out a narrative at all. You know, and Elizabeth Warren goes out and tries to talk to the media. And honestly, I tried looking for some videos of her, and no one's really posting a whole lot of stuff unless it's crazy, because she's a crazy. They call her Pocahontas. So they make fun of her. I mean, the real news is here, folks. It's right here. You're listening to it. It's us. It's War Room. It's Bongino.
Yep.
Breitbart. Benny Johnson.
Yep.
Crowder.
Charlie Kirk.
Yep. Posobiec.
Yep.
Rav, Real America's Voice.
Yep.
Please, let's pay attention to those.
Exactly.
Because that's where you're going to get your real news.
Yep.
And like this other one we're fixing to talk about.
Yeah, this is really crazy too. And I bet a lot of people hadn't heard a whole lot about it. But recent developments indicate that a renewed effort toward California's potential secession from the United States. You know, we always talk about the left coast, you know, and how we'd just, if it just broke off and floated out into the ocean, we'd still be okay here. You know what I mean? But now, hey, they even want to do it now. So here we go. And you know, Texas has a little movement going on too with this called Texit. Well, California's is called CalExit. And it's an initiative now that has been approved to gather signatures for a ballot measure that, if successful, would ask voters in 2028 whether California should become an independent country. And this proposal requires over 50% of registered voters participate, with at least 55% voting in favor by July 22nd. So if they meet these conditions on this petition, then a 20-member commission would be established to study the feasibility of independence, publishing a report in 2027. And this initiative is led by Marcus Evans, who has previously advocated for this. Well, so they come out and they talk about this. Well, hell, we're just going to break away. We're going to become our own country. MTG had her own thing to say about
said,
this. It's pretty
she
funny.
She said, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
That would mean 43 Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives would be gone, giving House Republicans a huge majority. And two California Democrat U.S. senators would be gone, making the Republican Senate majority stronger. And if California secedes, the next Democrat presidential candidate would lose California's 54 Electoral College votes. California TDS patients could lead to their own demise. I'm here for it. FAFO.
Exactly.
I mean, really, I'm here for it too. But you and I have talked about this, because we've talked about Texit.
Yeah.
And we're not in favor of Texit. We're not, because we are part of the United States of America.
Well, sure we are.
We are these United States of America.
We've talked about this, like you said, And one of the first things we talked about was, well, it really could never happen because does the state have the funding? Does the state have the equipment? Does the state have all the resources it needs to run its own infrastructure completely independent of any federal funding or any federal help at all, like with interstates, highways, that kind of thing? But also, another good question with that was, and I had to ask this, because if the state goes, okay, we're going to secede, then that's kind of the same way the Civil War started. You know what I mean? In the 1860s, that's kind of the same way. We need to study our history,
folks.
So I had to go and ask ChatGTP about it. You know what I mean? I had to go ask the question. I said, so, by the U.S. Constitution, if a state decided to secede, would that make them an enemy of our country? Would that be the same as declaring war? And so ChatGPT come back and gave me a pretty thorough answer. And it said that the U.S. Constitution does not explicitly address the issue of secession. However, historical precedent and legal interpretation suggest that unilateral secession by a state would be unconstitutional. And here's a breakdown of the key points. There's an unconstitutionality of secession. By the Constitution, by the president set, you should not be able to do this because it leads to other things. It leads to other definitions of what mm-hmm. you've just done. In Texas versus White of 1869, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Constitution created an indestructible union and that states cannot unilaterally secede. The court stated that these secessions could only occur through a revolution or a mutual agreement with other states. Would it make them an enemy of our country? It would definitely make them another country. Now, would it make them an enemy? Not necessarily. It might be viewed as acting against the federal government, but whether it would be immediately classified as an enemy would depend on the circumstances, whether there's a hostile response, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. And in that same light, and by definition, what I was just talking about, say California goes, okay, screw it, man. We've got everything we need. Boom, we're going to secede in 2028. Kiss our ass, United States of America. That's insurrection. Isn't it?
I would think it would be.
I would think it would be insurrection.
You know, because he didn't like the Republican governor.
Yeah.
I mean, the Republican president, you know, and the rules that you know, and the laws. But he was okay with Biden's laws and them flooding America with illegals.
Yeah.
And gang members.
Revolution.
Revolution. Yeah. That was a revolution.
Yeah.
You know.
The Great Replacement.
And we're just taking it back.
Yeah.
We're taking it back, and they can't stand it.
Nope.
The Democrats cannot stand it. And, you know, there was someone that was, we've talked about all the pardons that has happened over, well, since President, of the 9 days, you know, President Trump has been getting everybody out that has been politically charged, because they all have been.
Yes.
You know, but one particular person, he decided that he's not going to take it.
Yep. One of the people charged in a politically charged manner was Douglas Mackey. And if everybody remembers, Douglas Mackey made the Hillary Clinton meme with the text this number thing. And it was basically a joke.
It was a joke.
All that it was a joke. It was a meme. And he's in prison over this. And did he get a pardon? Even if he would, he's going to refuse it. Because his post here, and this was from 18 hours ago, Douglas Mackey said, the DOJ openly admitted that they prosecuted me because I was a prominent pro-Trump influencer and despite concerns about lack of proof and free speech. I will not rest until everyone involved with this prosecution has been ridden out of the DOJ. And this was a statement. Well, is that it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the statement we have is the one of the DOJ. Anyway, it's from May 26th. And it says the indictment of far-right internet activists on charges of interfering with the 2016 U.S. election reflects a strategic shift by the Department of Justice and sets the stage for new cases against more prominent right-wing actors, according to people familiar with this matter. That right there tells you it's all political.
Yep.
Every bit of what they did was political.
Every bit.
If you just cannot see, if you're a Democrat and you listen to her show, if you cannot see by now what is really going on,
yeah,
it isn't about Democrat and Republican anymore. It's about the American people and how you have rights.
It's,
and so does everybody in America. We all have the same rights as American citizens. And if you're not an American citizen, then you don't have those rights.
That's exactly right. Is this thing working?
Rise up.